for all the people who had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, they were changed. They were changed. And now we come face-to-face with God in a different way, heart-to-heart. And we can be changed in that same process by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is life. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit is truth. The Spirit is love. And so when we are face-to-face with God in the heavenly realm now, in this sanctuary, we are face-to-face with love and God's faithfulness and God's eternal life for each and every one of us. And we see, as we go to the book of Ruth this morning, it's a great story about love and what love entails and what love needs, what love requires. Because some of us, I don't know about you, but I love to love people that are lovable, right? I love those people, man. I love them. When they love me back and they like me back and they treat me good, I love them, right? Now, the not so lovable, and that could be me some days, right? Right? Loving the people that, you know, don't have anything to offer you, maybe aren't quite there yet, maybe haven't been changed by God enough, at least for you, right? your estimation of what God should do for them, right? What to make them be, right? Because we're all the so powerful and controlling prayer people that we are. We pray for our enemies, right? To be like we want them to be. To be like us, right? That's a human existence, isn't it? But that's not how God is it? No, God says love unconditionally. No conditions. No parameters. Nothing for you to say what they must do to earn your love. We can't earn God's love, the Bible tells us. We can't earn God's grace. We can't do enough things to be forgiven, right? The Word tells us that. It's through the grace of God that we've been forgiven by what Jesus did by dying on the cross. He gave his life for all humanity. Right? That's how God's love is exhibited and shown to the world, by self-sacrifice and by giving up yourself for the good of others. Right? That's what love's about. And in the book of Ruth, I love this story. And, you know, so many times we think of love in the romantic way and in the, you know, that kind of, you love the lovable and all that good stuff. But as we learned last night, when the tough, you know, the going gets tough, right? When people don't always follow your will or do what you want, or things don't go your way and people don't give you back what you want, we can get a little complainy about it, can't we? But the Bible tells us, do not complain, right? Do not complain or argue with each other. Be at peace with one another, right? And so that's what we hear as a church. That's what we're here for, isn't it? To teach you, to remind ourselves more and more and more about the need for all of us to show unconditional love to one another, whoever they are. Right? Right. And we see an example of this in the book of Ruth, I think. So I want to go there this morning for you. And I want to backdrop this with giving you the understanding of what the Israelites were living under and what Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, were living under. These were times of crisis, times of destruction, times of death and murder. Not unlike times today that we're living. Humanity continues to hurt humanity. And this is what Ruth and Naomi were facing. And not only that, this was, I'm going to read Ruth 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled in Israel, now the judges were the people that were supposed to tell you what was right was wrong, right? That's what the judges did. And sometimes it made it a little oppressive because of that. A man from Bethlehem in Judah left the country because of a severe famine. So not only was there, and when there's famine, you know, famine can be not a lot of food. But when there's a famine of love, when there's not enough love to go around, right? When there's more hatred, that's a famine of love, I perceive it to be. So we can take this literally that there was no food in the towns, but I also say as we read the scripture, we're living in a time of famine, of understanding and caring and compassion and love. We're hungry, hungry, hungry for love, aren't we? And our world needs it so desperately. And that's what we pray this morning. And this was a time of despair because of this famine. So this man took his wife and two sons and went to live in the country of Moab. So he moved out of the place of famine. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi. Their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. During their stay in Moab, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. So tragedy strikes. He moves from one place to the other, trying to get away from a famine, moves to another city, and he dies. And Naomi is left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. One married a woman named Orpah, and the other a woman named Ruth. So Elimelech's sons, Naomi's sons, married two women. One Ruth, one Orpah. But about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her husband or sons. So now tragedy strikes Naomi, right? Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. So they're leaving a place of tragedy, going back home to a place of where there's crops. So she's trying to leave her pain and go somewhere better, right? That's what Naomi's doing. And she takes her two daughters-in-law with her. Verse 8, but on the way, Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, go back to your mother's homes instead of coming with me. And may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. So now Naomi is doing something. She's saying, look, you've been blessed. You blessed me by marrying my two sons. They're gone. You go be blessed. So she's saying, go ahead, go away. It's okay to leave me, right? She's thinking of them more than herself at this point, right? Showing unconditional love. Verse 10, no, they said, we want to go with you to your people. So now what happens? They both say, wait a minute, no, no, no. We love you. We're going with you. We're going to stick with you through whatever we go through. We're going through that together. We are one family, regardless of the fact our husbands are gone. You are a part of us, and so we're going with you. We're sticking with you. This is what we see about what we call faithfulness, right? True love is shown through faithfulness, through thick, through thin, through good, through bad. We stick together, right? No matter what. Yes, it's easier to go on your own way. Just think about the lives that Ruth and Naomi could have had. I'm sorry, Ruth and Orpah, rather. Could have had without Naomi, right? They could have gone on, met men, gotten married again, gone on their merry way, found relief, right? But here's what happens. They both said, no, we want to go with you to your people. And here's Naomi's reply still. Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters. Return to your parents' homes. I'm too old to marry again. And even if that were possible, if I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you because the Lord himself has caused me to suffer. What's going on with Naomi now? A couple of things. First of all, she's saying, what good am I to you now? All I could give you was my sons. What good am I? Throw me away. See, sometimes I see this in the opposite to say that sometimes when we've been rejected by others or put aside by others or hurt by others, some of us can get a little cold and callous and think to ourselves, you know, what good am I to you? You know, I'm of no good to you any longer. You've used me or whatever good I thought I could give you, that's the end of it. Not so, is it, with God? Let's look at this from God's perspective. As God's looking down at this, right? And as we look at it, are people in our lives only for what they can give us? Am I only good to you by what I give you? I could give you nothing, you'd still love me, right? And you can give me absolutely nothing. And guess what? I still love you. Why? Because Christ lives in me, right? Not me, the person can do that sometimes, right? So sometimes we think we have to earn, right? See, here back to what I was saying earlier. Naomi thought she had to earn their love by giving them something. And she felt worthless at this point, a burden. And she, yes, was upset with God, blaming God that God took her sons from her. And sometimes when we become bitter, that's a place where we get stuck sometimes, don't we? No matter where we think we're heading. She lost sight of the fact that maybe God would still bless her in the future. She could say that Ruth and Naomi could be blessed, right? Go back to your mothers. You'll be blessed there. Leave me. Go ahead. She didn't think God would bless her any longer. And that's the place of despair and desperation that she was in. And sometimes people that don't have a strong belief in God's ultimate love for us all, that yes, some of us are going to go through suffering, loss of life, loss of relationships, loss of love from others towards us, for whatever their reasons are, may have nothing whatsoever to do with us, right? That's their thing. And we can lose that and feel empty and think that God is punishing us, right? We can get in that mindset. But is that where we need to stay, church? Never, 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 never. In fact, later on in the scriptures, she goes back to her town and she says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, which means bitter. She had turned bitter in her heart. Sad to think that. But that's not what the sermon's about. I'll tell you, you know the end of the story? Oh, no, I'm not going to tell you the end. Verse 14. And again they wept together. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. See you, Mom. I love how the scriptures, God throughout scripture, when you see two people a lot of times in scripture, right? A lot of times, there's comparisons all the time, right? Orpah says, okay, I'm out of here. She goes. We never, ever, 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 ever hear about her again in the scriptures. We never hear where her life went. I'm sure she went on and got married, did whatever she did, but did nothing for Naomi. And we don't see anything in scripture that God blessed her whatsoever. You don't see anything in scripture. She ended. She stopped. That's called when her faithfulness stopped. Because sometimes when the tough gets going, the weak go away. Weak of heart. Just can't quite get there. So she kisses her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth insisted on staying with Naomi. Don't you love people who insist to love you regardless of how stupid you act? Or I act. Don't you love people like that that insist? They will just not let you go. And some of us that grew up in dysfunctional homes where we had to think we had to earn love and there was a lot of whatever, sometimes you wonder if it was you and why they treated you that way. And if there was one person that said, I love you and stuck by you, you're like, wow. It means something, right? It lasts longer, doesn't it? She insisted on staying with her. This is the staying of faithfulness. Did Ruth know what was ahead for her with Naomi going? In fact, she knew she had a bitter mother-in-law at this point. I mean, I've had a mother-in-law. Fortunately, a loving, wonderful mother-in-law. Who is better than any mother-in-law in the entire universe. And the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so I have a beautiful, awesome wife to go with. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is so good to me. Yes. No. See, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. Naomi just won't accept this woman's love. Listen, when somebody wants to love you, please receive their love. Please. God loves you. We love you. This church loves you. And yes, some of you do some things that we don't always approve of or find appropriate or whatever we judge it or whatever we do with what we do. And sometimes you act like a human being. Imperfect, right? But when we want to love you through that, we still love you based, no matter what you do, your behavior is not you, right? Sometimes our actions aren't always good because we're human. But God is good, and God can help change us and grow us, right? So when someone wants to love you, receive that love. Okay? Thank you. But Ruth replied, I love, this is a good but in the Bible. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. I will go wherever you go and live wherever you live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I will die where you die and will be buried there. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. Wow. There's a commitment. There's faithfulness. There's something that could be put into all of our lives, not just in wedding ceremonies, right? Because some of us say those things. I'll go where you go, and right. We promise that. But listen, when you promise something, there's an exclamation point there too, right? She means what she's saying here. That's faithfulness in comparison to Orpah, who said, this is too hard for me. So when Naomi saw that Ruth had made up her mind to go with her, she stopped arguing with her. If you ever notice, sometimes there's a little repetition in what we say around here. And we try to get it through your heads and hearts that God loves you just as you are. And God gave his life for you. And God wants you in God's kingdom. And you are equal to every other person. God shows no partiality whatsoever. We're all God's children. Everybody on the planet. We all belong to one God and one family. Right? We're all children of God. And some of you sometimes, though, argue with God about whether or not you're worthy of that love or deserving, because some of you know some of the things you do that aren't always perfect, right? And then you think, well, God can't love me today because you were bad, wrong, made a mistake. Stop arguing with that. God loves you no matter what. God is faithful to you no matter what. Right? What that transfers to us, however, is that we also must be faithful to God and to one another. When people go through hard things and do tough things in their own life, and we watch people sometimes up, down, and all around, we need to be there with them. We need to stay the course with them. We need to love them through that, right? Regardless. The cool thing about what transpires next is that it says, verse 19, so the two of them continued on their journey. And it wasn't just a journey to go from Moab to Judah, or Judah to Bethlehem, or Bethlehem to Jerusalem, or any of the places we think we're going, right? The journey was what? Lifelong. A lifelong journey. Now we see in this example of just two people, we see how God is. Because always in the scriptures, I always see, where does God fit into this? Where's Jesus in this, right? Because he's in the Old as well as the New Testament. Well, remember when he fed the 5,000? And remember he said, you have to drink from me and be like me. And unless you follow me, right, you're going to get lost again. And some of the disciples did what? They left him because hard teaching, hard lesson. to try to continue to love everybody, right? And then Jesus turned to Simon Peter. Well, actually, no, he turned to all the disciples, but Simon Peter spoke up and said, "Lord, where would I go? You're everything, right? I'm sticking with you, right?" I use that example to tell you this, that no matter what we go through in life, God is sticking close to you. I mean, God is like super duper glue. Never leaves you. God is faithful. And whatever you're going through it how? Together with God. And what do we do as a church? We walk with you. We're on the same journey with you. We're all on different spiritual journeys in a sense, right? Some of us are at different levels, right? I got my growth to do, you've got yours, and so on and so forth. But we're all in this together, together as a church family, moving upward heavenly to become more and more like Christ. That's what the scripture teaches us, right? And maybe some of you get a little off track and you get a little limpy like Naomi did. I say limpy spiritually speaking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Right? And, you know, you're hobbling down your journey emotionally, mentally, spiritually sometimes, right? And so what are we to do? What does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible says to go up alongside of someone and stick to them like glue. And then help them all the way on their journey. Never to leave them, right? But to be with them. He's saying, "Let me go." And it seems it's so easy to lead a child. What about you adult children? Some of you, we get a little, we know you're going, yeah, I know, they're moving away. Please don't let it be me. Please don't let it be me. Don't let me be the one she gets close to. What if this church, I know we have an aisle down the center here, but what if we really were connected physically, not only spiritually, not only mentally, but we really, spiritually speaking, made a decision to stay with each other through thick and through thin as a church body and as a people in this world, to stand up for justice and peace and love and mercy and grace, to give unconditional love no matter what, and to, when someone's hurting, to walk up beside them and say, "I'm with you, even though you make me uncomfortable because you're crying." Because sometimes we get uncomfortable with that, don't we? We don't know what the heck to say to someone who's hurting. You don't have to say anything sometimes. You just have to what? Be there. "I'm with you, huh? I'm not leaving."
Thank you.
You're welcome. I knew I could find one person in the congregation. God put people on this earth for us to be connected to each other. No matter what we look like, no matter our size, our sex, our gender, our color, our ethnic background, whatever other kind of goofy labels people want to put, we are all human beings. And you said it beautifully earlier, we all have the same color heart. Wow, that was profound. We all bleed the same. Our blood runs red. It's so important that we as Christians, little Christs, show this world love by our connectedness, by regardless of whether or not someone is bitter and on the way to getting better, we stay close to them, as Ruth did with Naomi. And the end of that story, in case you didn't know it, both of them were blessed in the end, right? Especially Ruth, by the way, was David's grandmother. Oh, and Jesus came from the line of David. Wow. Did Ruth get blessed for helping another? Yes. And you know what else happened later? Naomi also had children as a result of that, grandchildren through Ruth, right? Both were blessed. So even though we're going through a temporary time, and I pray it's temporary, of everything that's happening in our world today, God is watching. God's in control. God is crying and weeping over what's happening in our world, weeping for us to do something as a church, being people of peace with one another first. If we can't even have peace in a church, where can you have peace? If we can't be connected to each other and stand by each other through thick and thin, where could you? So we must do it here. So let's stay together and go on our journey together. Wherever God leads, I know it's going to be great. And let's go out into our world that's hurting and stand beside those that are bitter and hurting and sorrowful and have gone through loss, whoever they may be. Let's be the ones to show our neighbors, whoever they are, that we love them and we're going to stick with them no matter what. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.